I'm Dennis. I'm here with the Youth Media team. There's Anna, Larkin, Jack, Roisin, Amy and Cara. Today we'll be interviewing the some of the people from the Munster rugby team.
What sacrifices have you had to make to get where you are today?
I suppose it's a very dedicated lifestyle. You can't exactly, when you're in college and growing up, be going out every weekend with your friends, you know, in the good college out on Tuesday, Thursday night, so you have to be in early, into bed nice and early to get up for training early in the morning. You can't exactly be living too much of a hectic lifestyle. So
I suppose travelling when you're a bit younger is something that we haven't been able to do. We started training when we were quite young, just out of school, and you know, a lot of our friends spent a lot of time abroad and travelling around the world, and that's something that we've had to sacrifice.
They've took them all off. I'll go on to the next question.
What are the pros and cons of being a professional rugby player?
The main pro is that you get paid to do something you love doing and you'd probably be doing anyway. It's a sport I started playing when I was like 6 years old as a hobby, and now I'm lucky enough to be getting paid to play it. The cons are injuries. I'm lucky I haven't had too many injuries in my career, but they're, for me, they're the two main pros and cons.
Cons are you spend a lot of time with a lot of pressure on. Every game is like you know, a big test or a big assignment every week, not just once a year. You get them every week, so it's, you're under a lot of pressure from fans, from media, from yourself. So there's a lot of pressure on the job.
Yeah, similar to the two lads, I suppose, the pressure and, or for cons, the pressure and injuries. I suppose the pros would be, yes, and Miss Billy, you get to do a job that you love to do and not many people get to do it. So I think about, there's probably about just about 200 professional rugby players in Ireland, so to be one of those 200 is something that I really cherish.
What has been your favourite moment of your career so far?
I wouldn't have any one particular one, but any time I get to play in Thomond Park in front of a full house on a European night, their memories, they are my favourite memories. You're Glasgow last year, you play, you know, wrestling, there's loads of Saracens, these games in Thomond Park, you just can't beat it. They're all very special memories for me.
Yeah, very similar. You playing European rugby at Munster. I've been lucky enough to win a couple of Six Nations trophies with Ireland as well. They were two special days for me.
Playing my first game for Munster was probably my best day of rugby. So
we're here preparing for a teacher conference tomorrow. Can you tell us about a teacher that has maybe influenced you?
Yeah, look, I was lucky enough to go to Prez in Cork, which is a good, very good academic school, a good rugby school, and had a lot of very important teachers that did both, did a bit of coaching and did a bit of very good teaching as well, and they certainly have stood to me throughout my professional career as well.
I went to Christians in Cork, and I suppose one of the better coaches I had was a fellow called Bill Guiney. He always made rugby very enjoyable. I think sometimes in school people can get a bit bogged down on the seriousness and having to win, whereas he took a completely different approach, made it more enjoyable, and we still managed to win while being coached by him, and I think that was because he made it fun.
I have very similar answers to two lads, but I had a teacher called Mihal O'Drinan in primary school, and he didn't care what sport you played as long as it was any sport. You know, so you know, he just forced everyone to go out and play sport, so he would have had a very positive influence on my sporting background.
Thank you. Cheers. Best of luck. Thank you. Thank you very much. Bernie, it's always great to hear you, and sorry I haven't come back on your previous call-in. I know this is probably not relevant, but I really would appreciate your thoughts. I'm struggling to find the right platform for podcasting. You mentioned Spreaker. That's a new one for me, and I'm ashamed to admit it, but I've really fallen out of love with all of the other platforms like SoundCloud and Audio Boom and Mixcloud. I don't think I've ever really used at all. I think that's just for music. Ladies and gents, I do like the Anchor experience. It's just the quality and certainly for longer pieces, I know you can sort of tease them together, but I'm just not sure what to do. Anyway, I'd appreciate your thoughts, my friend. Cheers. Have a great weekend. Bye.
Jillian, you have to ask yourself, why do social audio, or why do audio for syndication? And then inside that might be an answer. When I've listened to you, that's been a matter of clearing thoughts. Seems that between 5 and 6 in the morning in Southampton, talking about what lies ahead. Melinda Karani does the same kind of thing. She does home conscious design things in London. And there's power to that. Simon Toon did rougher cut audio logs, daily blogs by audio, staying below 5 minutes for a hashtag #BooFiveMen years ago. So to me, it sounds like your native use of audio is as a mental clearinghouse, which is good, because along the way you may attract people who the titles you use or the connections you make to like-minded who might suggest another way of going. In my mind, I use that. I use this stalking mechanism of just listening to people, eavesdropping on their thoughts or conversations, the ones they want to share audibly, and it costs me time and money. So sometimes I listen to the lovely lilt of voices or the interesting emotive expression of an event, and it intrigues me, and I spend time doing that, listening instead of working. But I know that because I'm easily distracted 20 or 30 minutes at a time, that if I have the discipline to stop that, I can actually recover time that I need to spend on things that are more related to the job at hand. I'm meandering in this, but I guess what I'm saying is this platform won't make you money by itself. It will get you ideas, which will make you money. It'll get you connections, which will get consultancy. It'll build a profile, which may or may not lead to phone calls and requests for help that you can use. By itself, though, the underlying process is workflow. So if you can park anchor to the 5-minute clearing function and early in the day, you've not lost anything. You might have gained clarity. In terms of where the program's going, where Anchor's going as a platform, intriguing for me, it's got to go to paid model. It's going to have to cost what the price sensitive point is, which is no less than $10 a month and no more than $50 a month on the first go. So Anchor version 3, which I think is about a year and a half away, is coming. It'll be a steamroller like Audioboo was. And it's going to vacate 2/3 of the community who's here, because they're not going to be able to pay $10 a month, because after all, nobody pays for social media. I'd say 2/3 of the people that I listen to, they're here just to converse, listen, and move along. And they'll find the next free experience that fills the gap of listeningship or interaction, and it'll be good. What I'm doing still hasn't evolved, but I have to take the minutes that I use in audio and I have to make them into something that people care about more than a year later. I have to bundle this stuff together in written form. In written form. Because the written form makes it discoverable. The written form, you can sell easier. The written form is respected in the academic community where I am. So this stuff has to go written. I'm hoping that cognitive sciences, that the AI that's behind Anchor and IBM Watson and inside of Siri and inside of Alexa, that those things will take my babblings and convert them into words on screen or words on paper, and people will later say, I like that. And long after I go, my kids can benefit from the royalties that may follow. And that's my end game. Haven't figured out how to get there yet. It's all a matter of discipline and false starts. And I'd have to say less. A year and a half of me using Anchor has been a bit of a false start, because I haven't gotten to the quick end game, or to the end game quickly, because I have the distraction of easy conversation in the way. Like just now, I've used 4 minutes and 22 seconds to tell you stuff that's kept me away from an event that I'm currently standing in. It's a day-long yearly teaching conference that I have to get to writing about. Enjoy the weekend. Bye for now.
Hi, Bernie. This is Dr. New, and I'm calling in about your comment
on my piece on PhDs in creative writing. So, PhDs in creative writing are just the tip of the iceberg. And you said that you had a dream that you might be able to do a PhD in blogging. And that's certainly not beyond the realm of possibility. There have been PhDs in burlesque dancing, which was absolutely fascinating, and PhDs in quite a lot of other different creative areas. And I can't imagine that there wouldn't be an opportunity in the creative arts to have a blogging PhD. So you're welcome to call in and we could talk about it, and I could maybe point you at some places.
Yeah, Dr. Nu, I actually know of guys, who, men and women, who can get to a PhD just by taking a body of their work they've written already online, bundled up into 50,000 words, pass the review, peer review, as well as their academic advisor. Bang, they've got it. So if you're online with an ISSN number and a portion of your content went to traditional media, here in Ireland, at least two of the third level institutions are willing to say, okay, you've got some credibility and maybe we can help you out with that PhD with just your blogging, but you got to write the stuff, repackage it. Your comment comes on the heels of a conversation I'm having with Julian Summer Hayes about why do all this stuff, you know, what's the end game? Yeah, thanks for the comment. Thanks for the call in. And thanks for listening. I enjoy your stuff too. Bye for now. It's a weekend, and for the first time, I really feel guilty about just talking about stuff in my life instead of scrolling around the wheel and talking about other things or listening to people because, why do this? Talk or use an app that purports to be social without being social. That said, I know that me just talking like this won't affect more than three or four people because when you slip down and fall off the carousel by not cross-promoting hashtags or calling into stations or entering a competition, competition of your time by participating in strings of memes, well, you're not going to have more than half a dozen people discover you because it's tough. Anyway, what I'm mentioning all this because it is a matter of numbers. So I'm working with a youth media team that would typically have put content on Audioboo. But for that to happen, it's $10 a month. And we've decided that since we only can get 5 episodes a month there, we're not going to do that. We're not going to pay Audioboo for the privilege of hosting content there. Instead, I'm moving across to a place called Spreaker. And you might ask, well, geez, why not Anchor, Bernie? I mean, your guys only talk for 3 or 4 minutes, so it would fit. Yeah, it would, but the capabilities, the expansion capabilities on Spreaker are much more obvious. And in my mind, I'll end up paying for Anchor anyway someday if I'm going to use it. And the big thing is this, the quality of the audio at source when packaged and served by Anchor is less, a lower quality on Anchor than what I can get for the same sound recorded in Spreaker, and I have that on the back of field recordings that we've done already, have compared like to like. So anyway, the sound quality isn't high enough, and the strategy ends up being difficult. What I'm saying is, we all know the content falls off on Anchor, so it was more difficult making this individual segments be found on Anchor. And then finally, Anchor doesn't allow me to edit and replace an original clip and still maintain the URL. So all those things are happening behind the scenes. Right. The other thing that's happening behind the scenes is numbers. I started off babbling about numbers. And hold on just a minute here. And if I'm allowed, I want to talk about numbers right now. So I babbled 2 minutes ago about numbers, and quite interesting because the player that Audioboo uses and the embedded art that Audioboo uses reflects the fact that they know something. So they know something about how to preload content inside their player for the next clip that's in the flow. they know how to bring cover art, audio art into the player, and they have an embed, an embeddable player that works on Facebook and Twitter better than anything I've seen. So I'll be leaving behind all that. But to some extent, I'll leave behind a false metric, because what I know is when the audiobook player is put up on Twitter, there's some kind of a playlistable preloading function that's happening where I'm getting credited for a play that doesn't happen. It's as though because the content's been cached and ready to play, it counts as a play in their system. I've always known Audioboo over-inflated the plays, and I can see it now. So typically, on the back of a major event that we cover, we get a minimum of 50 listens, maybe even 70 on the day. We get half of that now with Spreaker, which I think is correct. So the leading content yesterday at an event, a teaching conference, 31 people listened on the day, 33 people listened a few hours after the day, a 10% rise, that's about right. Minister of Education, he got a 10% rise as well. And several other really good pieces of content are flat, which reflects that's what happens once it goes off the carousel and anchor, it's gone. And once it goes out of the focal point on the website or on a speaker, it's gone as well. So I'm doing this analysis now because I'm trying to validate why I want to stay with Spreaker. The numbers are sound. The CMS is solid. The analytics, exceptionally better than what I have on Anchor. And the ability to edit without changing my URL is there. All those things are causing me to pay $10 a month to Spreaker.com, soon to be $14 a month on the plan that I'm on. Bye for now. Hey, Brett, just want to mention about the Spreaker thing. I didn't realize that one of the absolute things we need to have is the ability to edit audio, republish the audio, and have the URL and all the tracking stay the same. It's just so valuable. That was part of the backroom fixer situation, one of the tasks that I had when work with Audioboo, because kids will make mistakes. The only two big mistakes we made yesterday, we misidentified somebody, which is easily fixed because the misidentification was only in a caption of an image and a blog post. And one of the new USB mic operators, rolls the mic in her hand, which creates noise, but also, as it turns out, disconnects the cable. So she made a flat audio recording yesterday, and a few others with a lot of barrel noise. But the point is that I could quickly take down the audio, and we could keep it and simply stick another one up. Yeah, really important to be able to edit raw content, I mean the core content, the audio, and really important to have a semi-permanent URL for the MP3 file. The Anchor, again, I'm not sure it's being constructed that way, so I'm nervous about adopting a flow. We'll stick with it over 3 or 4 years, so we have continuity. I believe in Spreaker's system. After a month of using its back-end analytics, I'm even more distrustful of the stats that Audioboo puts out. I think they're wrong by almost a factor of 10. But we knew this based on how the preloading worked in their file system. It's clever, it's legal, but I think if it was audited by the IAB, it would be tossed under the bus. And that's what's dangerous about Audioboo. It's a false metric. That's really going to hurt when somebody depends upon sponsors thinking they have 10 times more listeners than they actually do. Yep, things you learn by doing. Thanks for listening. Bye.